I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
An Erio's original.
I'm Leslie Arfin, and this is my show, Filling the Void. A show where I get to know my friends better by talking to them about the things that bring them pure joy, also known as their hobbies. Today on the podcast, we have Jesse Pearson. Jesse Pearson, I met my second year of Hampshire College. We ended up living together in a house on campus with seven other people. He was my brother then. He's my brother now. He's the former editor-in-chief at Vice Magazine. Jesse was always a great friend to me, but an even better editor because he told me the truth and it made me a better writer. He's done a bunch of other things. He's written for TV shows and he has an apology literary magazine and also a podcast and blah, blah, blah. But if you are a fan of smart people and cool people, then you'll be a fan of this episode. I wanted to talk to you today about books, and I know you're like, books, they're like not the most exciting hobby because like everybody likes reading. Most creative people do, but it's not just reading for you. I feel like we were briefly just talking about this, but you love books. Like, and also not just books, magazines, mm-hmm. papers.
Yeah.
Zines.
Ephemera.
Ephemera. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Old and new.
Yeah, mainly more old, I think, ultimately.
Mm.
At least lately. Like, I'm not really excited about any new magazines right now. I can't think of any that are like really getting me pumped.
Not even like, have you like read any weird zines art thing? Like, you know how at Skylight, the book, the art book,
the
Skylight,
annex, yeah.
Yeah, the annex, yeah. They always have like weird little zines from weird little small publishing.
Yeah. There's one I can think of that's kind of cool. It's called Weird Walk.
Okay.
And it's a British zine about like walking in the countryside in England in like old like pagan and it's got like Stonehenge in it and like
cool.
Weird like pagan like freak like folk horror kind of stuff.
Nice.
So it's only about that, which I don't know how long that can be sustainable being only about that, but
right.
It's really nice.
Is it?
I'm not like, I don't even want to like shout them out necessarily. It's just one I can think of.
Totally. You know? Yeah. Is it like, is the writing good or is it pretty?
The writing's good.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, and you introduced me to Alyssa Bennett, and I love her zines.
Yeah, her zines are great.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's still doing them.
I don't know either, but she does have a lot like backstock. If people want to Google her name, she writes really funny but dark.
They're like true crime zines, kind of, but she inserts herself into them a lot, so they're very personal too.
Totally. Yeah.
She's got a good Instagram called a Regret Counter. Have you seen that?
I mean, I think I follow her, but I don't.
She's got a personal one, and then a. Like a
what is
one.
Regret Counter?
People submit like lists of all the drugs they did the night before.
That's so fun.
Yeah, and she like runs like the handwritten list.
So cool.
That's a good one.
I really do like that spirit on the internet that or existing still. I mean, I like doing that kind of stuff too. I just
something like that feels more like an old zine than like an Instagram account or like an old zine idea or something.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which I like. Yeah,
me too. you work at a bookstore right now.
I do.
I mean, you're also a writer, and you, I can list, you know, your resume in the intro, but like, Jesse was like the editor-in-chief at Vice for a really long time. And before that, he worked at Index Magazine, which was like the coolest magazine in New York, RIP.
Yeah.
And
RIP
has worked as a TV writer. And the thing that you work, where you worked before, where you met Mia.
Oh, Super Deluxe.
Super Deluxe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
I ran the online video network for Super right. Deluxe. Yeah.
Just like always have your toe dipped in what something cool. And
yeah,
because you're very talented and smart. And I wanted to talk to you about books. I know that you're working at a bookstore right now.
Yeah, I manage a bookstore called Arcana in Culver City. It's art books.
Right.
Photo books, architecture, like visual culture. It's not like a place to go to get a novel.
Totally.
Which is interesting for me because I've always collected art and photo books, but I've always been more focused personally on literature and poetry.
Yeah, I know.
So it's kind of a different vibe. Although I know a lot about art and photo from like editing magazines and being like tangential to the art world in different ways. It's totally flexing a different kind of skill set than I usually do with books.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a lot of like, it's fun to have someone come in who doesn't know what they want and then find them the right book.
That yeah. is very cool.
Yeah.
Were you always like interested in ephemera and stuff from when you were very young?
I think that that kind of stuff started probably when I got more into like punk, when I was like early teen, like late middle school, early teens.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think punk just naturally carries a lot of ephemera with it.
Yeah.
Like that's when I started saving show flyers.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Or like, yeah. Certain kinds of zines that were really rare or limited, like feel more like ephemera than zines in a way.
Yes.
So probably around then. Before that, when I was like a kid, it was just about books.
Right. Like you didn't read comic books or did you?
Not really. Like I never read superhero comics. The first comics I got into were in like early middle school. I got into like underground 60s comics, like Arkham and God. Obviously Arkham and people like that.
So not like Archie.
Never.
I was so into Archie.
Archie seemed really square.
I know, but I was yeah. a kid. I was square.
I was really into Garfield, obviously. That's a comic strip.
Right.
But I had
yeah,
all the
I would
books.
Read the funny pages with my dad on Sundays.
The funny pages weren't that funny.
But that's where Garfield was.
Yeah. I don't know if Garfield made me laugh that much. Right. Even though I loved it. I remember like guffawing at Garfield.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. I thought... I would, I guess, maybe not laugh, but like a chortle.
Yeah.
A smirk.
Some of Garfield was almost like tragic.
Depressing?
A little.
Why?
Well, wasn't there some crazy backstory with his mom where she was like a teenage mom who like gave him up or something like that at one point? I think there was.
I mean, this sounds like fan fiction to me, but I don't, I never heard this.
I don't know. I think, I don't know if I'm remembering that or just wishing it were true.
But, I mean, yeah. If it isn't true, you should definitely start writing Garfield fan fiction.
Definitely.
I think that's so, so funny, Jesse.
Yeah, I love fan fiction.
I know, me too. Wait, what's your favorite fan fiction?
Well,
if you have.
A good friend of mine a few years ago wrote some Leave It to Beaver fan fiction.
That's awesome.
That was really good.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that was super dark. Yeah.
So, were there any books that you first loved? I mean... That you want to mention or not really? It's
like just, what? Like what? Which ages are you thinking? Like when?
I don't know. I guess before you became a punk, before you turned punk.
Well, what did I love? I don't know. I guess Stephen King.
Hell yeah!
Obviously, he always comes up.
I know.
But he was my first obsession in terms of writers, for sure. I mean, yeah. After Garfield. And like Dungeons and Dragons, like choose your own adventure books.
Yeah, then I like King, those too.
They were great. Then came Stephen King.
We still love Stephen King.
Definitely.
Fuck yes, dude.
I don't know what the last masterpiece he wrote was. Like, they're kind of just, I read them out of duty more than anything.
Oh,
now.
Did you finish Fairy Tale? You
yeah,
didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
Okay. Wasn't for you.
I was kind of bored. I feel like it was kind of like, he set up this whole huge, crazy world and then like set most of it inside a prison. Like, there was so much more that could have happened.
The third act.
Yeah. I just knew that it was going to be okay. Like, I didn't feel any real risk.
I thought it was really fun, and I enjoyed it, and I did think it was, like, a cool kind of departure from stuff he usually writes. Mm-hmm. But it's not traditional King, and it's not... Mm-mm. I wouldn't recommend it for people who wanted to get into King.
No. It was most like his book, The Eyes of the Dragon. Remember that one?
I didn't read that one. And I haven't read any of The Dark Tower, because they intimidate me.
They shouldn't. You can take them, like, in bite-sized chunks. The thing is, I don't know how good it is, The Dark Tower, really, ultimately.
Some people absolutely fucking love
them. I know. Those are people who really, like, want to deal with, like, world building and, like, lore and, like, deep, like,
right.
you know, complexities of, like, background and stuff.
Right.
And they kind of get off on that.
Right.
I don't know how much I care about that.
Same.
From him, at least.
Or, I don't know, it's never really, I'm trying to think of, like, any example where that has really, like, moved me.
By other people?
Yeah, in general. Like
Harry Potter.
Ooh.
Lord of the Rings. It. I don't know if you've read those.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I read Lord of the Rings too late in life. Maybe. I mean, I like them. I like the movies a lot. I'm not obsessed with them like people.
No, not me.
Yeah, his Dark Materials, I guess. I really was into that.
Yeah.
But okay. Touché. But no,
entry level King, I guess. I would probably say, I mean, my favorite is Pet Sematary, which I've said before.
Pet Sematary is amazing. It's very scary, and it's very hard for me.
It's bleak.
Yeah, it's fucking super dark.
Not a happy ending.
I think The Dead Zone is amazing.
Totally.
I absolutely love The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
But, like, I couldn't get into, what's the one that I was, like, having a hard time with that I want to get into it, the vampire one.
Salem's Lot?
Yeah.
I like Salem's Lot. It's like a soap opera.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all these different characters. They're all like kind of like small town cliches. Some of them are fucking each other. Some of them are drunk secretly. Some of them are like, they all have secrets and it all kind of like intertwines with like vampires.
I can dig that.
Yeah. That's kind of how I look at it. Like a soap opera.
Well, there was one before Fairy Tale called... I just remember the cover because it's a really good cover.
What did it look
it's
like?
It's a shorter novel. It's like a man and a woman painted leaning on a car. Oh, it's called Later.
I haven't read that.
It's a crime horror novel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the cover.
Oh, yeah. That looks like, it looks like there's a series of crime novels.
Yeah.
It must be one of them. I forget what they're called. I have all of them.
You have all of them. That's what I was thinking of. Because when I go to your house and I see all of the same kinds of books, like different titles, but same author, same series or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks really exciting to me.
Yeah, it's fun. That's, I think, the only like full series that I still have.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess
that?
I don't.
What is that series?
I can't fucking remember. It should say it on like the corner there.
Well, this is a Stephen King book.
But he might have put one out with that series just for fun. Because it kind of the cover design looks like it.
I see. This is... Hard Case?
Yes.
Hard Case Crime.
Yeah, Hard Case Crime.
Oh, so I didn't realize that was like a Penguin kind of... It's a publishing company or it's like...
It's an imprint. I don't remember where though. Is it Penguin maybe? I don't know.
No. Imprint. Like what is an imprint?
An imprint is like a specialized like publishing arm within a larger publishing house.
So are Hard Case Crime books usually really good?
Yeah, that's great curation. All kinds of people have been in there.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of it is like noir, like...
Okay.
40s, 50s, 60s, like hard-boiled noir kind of stuff, which I think you either kind of love or you don't.
Do you have any favorites that you can tell me about? You don't have to say it right now because I don't want to put you on the spot. But
I can name writers in that world that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Westlake, I really like, who wrote also. He wrote these crime and sort of thriller novels under his own name. But then he wrote novels under the name Richard Stark also, which were a lot more like hardcore and like sort of like just violent and direct.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really good. My favorite crime novelist, although I don't know if he's had a Hard Case book, is Charles Williford.
Okay, what's his deal?
He was mostly from Florida. He had a crazy childhood. He like wrote a memoir about his time during the Depression. He was like a train hopper when he was a teenager and stuff.
Cool.
Went to the war, came back. Spent most of his time in Florida. He wrote a lot of like really great noir books, but he's probably most well known for a series that he wrote like at the end of his life. Miami Blues was the first one, which is kind of a well-known book.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was turned into a movie with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. Is it a good movie?
it's okay. It's not as good as the books. But he created this detective at the end of his life named Hoke Mosley, who was the hero of these four books. But the funny thing about Willeford is he never wanted to create a series detective. Like, he was against that for some reason, because I guess everybody was doing it. So he wrote one book with this detective. It was really successful. And then his agent said, write another one with the same detective. And he was resistant to it. So he wrote a book where the detective murdered his entire family and, like, went insane and went to jail forever.
I want to read it.
Solitude. Well, you can't. I have a PDF of it. It was never published.
No way.
Yeah, the agent and the publishing house were like, "You're fucking crazy." So he was like, "Fine." He wrote like three more that were more straight. But they're all really good.
Really? Okay, I'll check it out.
It's called Grimhaven.
Ooh,
it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's legendary.
Have you ever read The Three Body Problem?
I read the first. That's the first book in the series, right? Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Did you love it?
No.
Okay, my friend Moshe is like, absolutely loves it. So I was trying I was going to give it a try. And you never listen to books?
No, I do.
Yeah?
It's just certain kinds.
Right, like what kinds?
Well, I have like kind of like three levels of reading / listening. One is if it's a book that I really love or think I'm going to love or want to have like as an object, and I obviously get it on paper.
Right.
Mass market things like new Stephen King books, for example, I get on the library for my iPad.
Yeah.
And then things that are just kind of dumb, I listen to driving back and forth to work. Like, totally. The last book I listened to was Rob Halford's autobiography.
Yeah, I think that listening to books is an easy way for me to listen to a lot of stuff that is hit or miss.
Yeah.
Obviously, I bought like The Shards in hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
And like any, I buy Stephen King in hardcover.
Yeah.
But I want to have all of them.
Yeah.
Or as many as I can. But I do really like, I don't collect books or like ephemera to the degree that you do, but I do really love old Stephen King books, and they're sometimes hard to find at like thrift stores.
They are, yeah.
What's like your favorite hard to find book, or whether it's art book or whatever, like your favorite thing you have in your collection of books?
Well, I have a lot of things that have a lot of sentimental value, mostly art and photo books that like friends have done that are like signed to me or that I had to help a hand in editing or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's all that stuff. I don't really have like valuable books that aren't art and photo books, because even though I was saying like I fetishize certain covers or editions for books, like cover art or something like that, I don't care about having a first edition.
Right,
I don't
totally.
Care about having it signed.
Yeah.
All that shit. So I guess the books that are most valuable to me are the ones that I've read the most, or that like I've always kind of dragged a certain edition around with me. Like what comes to mind would be, I have a really nice, like small hardcover edition of Actual Air by David Berman that I really love.
That's nice.
Because it's just always traveled with me for so many years now. I'm editing a couple photo books right now, actually.
Which ones?
Patrick O'Dell.
Oh, right.
His early 2000s, like epically latered blog stuff.
I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm so excited.
It's weird looking at all those photos.
I know. I also like have a slight like panic of nostalgia. I don't have like a great relationship with nostalgia, as I'm sure like most people don't.
No, it's mixed for me for sure. And then a book of photos by Alon Levitt from the same era.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
That is weird.
But Alon's book leans more toward like graffiti land, and Patrick's leans more toward skate land.
Okay.
Although there's a lot of crossover.
There is a lot of crossover. Those two guys were like, I don't know if anybody remembers like party bloggers, but they kind of like Amy Kellner was too with Teenage Unicorn. We just took pictures every time we went out, and then uploaded them with our digital cameras, and then wrote little things, and it was like this online zine.
Yeah,
that was really fun when we were in like the early aughts.
Yeah, I think there's like a big nostalgia. Speaking of nostalgia, for that moment right now going on, which is kind of odd to see since we were so mired in it when it was happening.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago, so it's a little like calm down.
It wasn't
people.
That long ago, but
we were just in our 20s,
going crazy. Yeah,
yeah, it was like. Anyway,
but I mean, a lot of the art and music from that was like being made by our friends then kind of went out into the larger world in kind of a big way, I guess. And so it kind of has returned now in the nostalgia cycle, and it's really weird.
Well, I can't help it if we're iconic.
Yeah.
Which are we?
I feel like I'm behind iconic people. Like I've helped iconic people as an editor and a curator and
stuff. That's even more iconic to me.
It's secretly iconic.
I like that. Yeah. That's better. That you're iconic to me. Wait, I don't care about first editions either.
Yeah.
I'm not like a book collector, but I do love like old covers. Mm-hmm. Like even if that actual air that I have is worth something, it's worth more to me. It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, definitely.
You love poetry.
I do.
And I also think you're an amazing poet and nobody will ever know until you die when I publish all of them.
Thank you. Or don't do that, actually. Well, but thank you for saying that.
Because at least if you're you're a very, very good poet, and thanks. You don't think you are because for whatever reason, but the world has to hear it.
It's not really thinking that I am not or that I am a good poet. It's just that I don't have the urge to share it. I don't know what it is that's deficient in me that way, but I don't have that urge.
Well, as an artist, I do think that part of what we do, it's important to share it and not have it like live in a bottle just for us, because it puts something better into the world. Even if it's a paperclip size, it doesn't put in it. I know that your heart is rolling its own eyes, but like, I don't care.
I get what you mean. I do. And there's something to that.
Like there's a lot of bad shit and there's even bad art. It's not taking anything away because it's so subjective. So like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to get into a conversation like that with you because we'll go down a spiral.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to control the narrative. If that's where it goes, that's where God wants it to take us.
Yeah. Got to follow that.
But I do want to like lean into like what you're like really obsessed with. Not just the writers and the books in and of itself, but like kind of the worlds, whether they're fiction or nonfiction, that certain people live in, like scenes or like even the shards. Like
there's like a kind of scene that I kind of have been trying to like describe or like invent myself lately. I call it Mean Hippie.
Like it.
And I think John Waters or Cookie Mueller said that first, Mean Hippie somewhere. I don't remember where, though. But it's kind of like post-60s hippies, like 70s hippies, writing about really sort of degraded lifestyles and crime and drugs, but also in very like sort of transcendent, you know, beautiful language. Dennis Johnson is obviously like the number one in this world. But there are other people. And I kind of like, it's like half hippie, half junkie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just kind of like a gross person.
A dirtbag.
It's a dirtbag.
Totally.
But it sounds, but dirtbags, but it's also like a smart dirtbag or somebody who is more intentional, I guess, about not giving a shit. But that isn't what I think you are. Or
I don't know.
I'm not even claiming
mean hippiedom for myself necessarily.
But you kind of are.
Probably.
Yeah. I never heard that word until 5 minutes ago, but like I am too.
Yes, you are. I mean, other writers in that world are like, I mean, Cookie Mueller is one of them.
She's like our hero.
For sure. Robert Stone.
I don't know who that is.
He's a great writer. His best book is called Dog Soldiers.
Okay.
I feel like I know that title. It's partially a Vietnam book, but it's mostly about like trying to make a really big heroin deal and here like heroin smuggled from Vietnam. And like it all goes horribly wrong, and it's kind of Dennis Johnson-y. It's great. Really, really great. Yeah.
Oh, I totally want to read that.
It's one of my favorite novels.
We love Dennis Johnson. Who else is a mean hippie?
Well, I've been trying to kind of like find new old people to put into this world. I think that Catherine Dunn, who wrote Geek Love,
hell yeah,
has some mean hippie novel. Geek Love is not a mean hippie novel, but other stuff by her, like Truck is.
I haven't read Truck. Should I?
Truck is great.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm totally gonna read it.
Yeah. This guy Don Carpenter has some mean hippie stuff.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
I do like this mean hippie thing. Would you say any of the people you hang out with also fall into that category?
Well, I think the person that I'm closest friends with that I would think is a mean hippie and she might reject this, I don't know, is Lori Weeks, the writer Lori Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So cool.
She's the greatest writer.
She's awesome.
Not well known enough by far.
Why not, do you think?
Well, she only has one book out. It's called Zipper Mouth.
Yeah. But she's written so much. Like, I feel like I've
been
seeing
her name. She hasn't published a lot, though.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, Lori, like all of us, just like has to deal with life. And sometimes writing, like, life can get in the way, you know?
If you, like, do you have a favorite, like, publishing company or house or bookstore? Like, yes, tell us your favorite bookstores.
My favorite bookstores are honestly estate sales.
Right.
You know, there's an app called Estate Sale Finder.
And estatesales.net.
Yeah.
I look at it every day.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So I just look for estate sales where books are listed, and that's kind of my favorite bookstore. But I mean, there are bookstores that I like in LA. I love Counterpoint Books.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great store. I think Alias.
Counterpoint is awesome. Alias. Yeah, you like Alias, right?
I like Alias, although sometimes they have like shitty attitudes. The people right. who work there a little bit.
I agree.
But they have good books.
It definitely is like a comic book guy, Simpsons.
Right? A little bit.
It's like, yeah. It's really funny.
It is.
What about like independent, like other bookstores that, like, remember that bookstore that was across the street from Supreme that's not there anymore? That like no. Jerry used to.
Oh, Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Are there bookstores like that still?
Yeah, I like, well, Despair Books is good. Have you been there?
No, where is it?
There's one in Echo Park on Echo Park Boulevard.
What's it called again?
Despair, but she spells it D-E-S space P-A-I-R.
Oh, okay. Is it on
Despair?
Is it on York?
Echo Park Boulevard.
Oh, no, I haven't been there.
Near, like, Cookbook.
Oh, I have not been there.
It's good. It's this woman, Addison, runs it. It's a really good shop.
Okay, good to know.
That's kind of got the spirit of Family, I would say.
All right.
Yeah.
I loved Family. I thought that was a
great.
Cool store. What happened to them?
I think that the partners, Kramer and Sammy, just had other stuff they needed to do to make money. And then that stuff kind of became more and more successful. And then...
What was their other stuff?
Kramer, like, makes ads. He had an ad agency.
Oh, cool, cool.
And Sammy is just a really big comics writer.
Oh, yeah. Right. And what about in New York? Do you have any bookstores that that are your favorite?
Yeah,
there?
Mast. I really like Mast.
Where's that?
It's on Avenue A near Tompkins.
Okay.
And then I really like Codex, which is owned by my friend Aaron Cometbus. It's one of like three stores that he owns.
Oh, I didn't know he owned anything.
Well, he's partners. He doesn't like solo own stuff.
I love Aaron Cometbus's writing.
Absolutely.
I've been reading his books as I can't get enough. I will always read a Cometbus.
Absolutely.
I just love him. But I've never met him in real life.
He's great.
I'm sure he seems like the coolest dude.
I was a character in Comic Bus, which was like...
Which one?
I can retire now.
Oh my God, right?
It was a few issues ago. I played... It was me. It was just based on me and our friendship. But my name was Kelly instead of Jesse. And I edited... I was the editor, former editor of Drek magazine instead of Vice magazine.
You know the title of this podcast, Filling the Void?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good title?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like books and like... And not just books, the ephemera of your life... like fills a void?
Yeah, I think so.
You do?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, books for me have a really sort of like heavy psychological significance in my life because I use them as like escape and friendship when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I like wasn't happy being a kid at all and mm-hmm. I needed to like run away to different places or like hide.
Yeah.
I would hide in a book.
Mm-hmm.
So
still I probably
absolutely
do.
Like I'll read if my life is chaos and there's trauma everywhere, I'll like read instead of dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So filling the void. Yeah, totally.
It does.
Yeah.
So like, what's a hobby that, you know, you will just never have. And I love that you play golf. Would you say that golf is one of your hobbies?
Yeah. I go in and out of it. Cause it's right. like I work most weekdays now. So it's a little hard to like find
yeah.
time. But yeah, I mean, golf is a hobby.
Are you good at it?
Sometimes. You can be amazing one day and terrible the next. That's fucking golf.
Interesting.
It's like, it's really frustrating. Yeah.
But you have fun when you go with your friends.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is there a hobby that you just know that like you would never do, but like you wish you wanted to want to do?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind isn't something I want to do. It's something I actually want to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's just kind of expensive as mm-hmm. a hobby and a little time prohibitive or like, it's shooting, just being more involved with guns in general.
Right. And like going to gun range.
Going to the range more often. I mean, I've done a lot of like gun related stuff in my life, but it takes a lot of time and money to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm ever going to really like devote enough to that to really get.
Well, would you like for like hunting?
No, just never. Just to shooting
shoot.
Targets. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The only time I've ever been to the shooting range was with you.
Oh, yeah? When?
In college.
Oh, yeah. I remember
it was
that
really fun.
Yeah.
It was also fun. Hard and, like, it was hard physically to do and, mm-hmm. like, kind of painful. Not, it didn't hurt me, but, like, the kickback was, like,
yeah, it's
really
tough.
Aggressive.
Yeah, it's overwhelming sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I wanted to shoot, like, a really small, like, Dolly Parton, like, whipping it out of her purse gun.
Like a little 22.
Like a pellet gun.
We didn't get the right gun. We should have done that.
They didn't have that. I asked.
Oh,
I'm like,
remember.
Give me the Dolly Parton gun. They were like, what?
My grandmother has a gun or had a gun. She recently passed, but she had a gun called a Lady Colt.
Yeah.
It was a little Colt 45 in, like, a pale, like, a powder blue case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would want.
Yeah. It was nice.
But do you own a gun?
Not right now. No, I did in Atlanta, but I don't know.
What happened to it?
I had a toolbox full of guns that somebody gave me who lived down there, and then I just gave them to another person when I left.
Wow.
Guns are really treated casually there. At one point, I had possums infesting my ceiling in Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
My drop panel ceiling.
Yeah.
So they could just fall through at any minute. The exterminator came and said that he couldn't do anything, but I should just wait till they drop down and shoot them.
Oh my God.
I was like, so you want me to shoot possums in my house?
Oh my
with a fucking
God.
9mm.
They do have traps. They're like,
I mean, something that's shooting them is not the solution.
No, I mean, it's really hard to shoot a possum.
I wouldn't be able to hit it, first of all.
Exactly.
I'd be blowing holes in my own wall.
And you're also like not shooting an animal. It's crazy.
I know, I'm never going to kill an animal.
No.
Yeah. But that just felt very Atlanta to me.
It's totally.
Yeah.
So you will do that. Is there like one that like you admire that somebody else does it or you think it's cool, but you just know you would never do it?
Yeah, maybe Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
What's that about?
It's just a martial art that's really nerdy. It's like a grappling martial art.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to do it. I've trained it like 3 times and it's just too fucking hard. And I'm like, fuck this.
Really?
Yeah. It's just too much. Like I just don't want to be in good enough shape to do it.
Right.
I can't, but I wish I were and I wish I could.
I see. Yeah. Totally. I understand that. So yeah, it's interesting to me that like, because your hobby is owning, like having stuff in general, like it's stuff really. Mm-hmm. Like usually my hobbies are doing something that where I have to buy stuff to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
supplies
and all that,
yeah.
But yours isn't. And I like that. And yeah. Your the gun thing, like, yes, the gun is the supply you need. And like, maybe like headphones and goggles or whatever they are, but it's not really so much about the stuff. It's more about like the movement, like
experience.
The jiu-jitsu thing. You just would need like a karate outfit,
a gi.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you also need like lungs that work and like muscles that work.
Well, yeah, but those aren't things you have to buy.
No, but those things you have to develop, which I'm just kind of like,
those are your tools. Those would be your supplies.
Yeah.
I like that. That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like they're very bare bones. Whereas
yeah,
like,
you don't need a lot. Yeah.
Excuse me. Whereas like your other thing is more of like a hoarder situation, but you're like, you're very actually organized and like a neat person. I don't think of you.
You think so? Really?
I think so. I think you're organized. I've never associated you with chaos. Mm. You know, you have stuff, but like usually have like, I like the way you set things up and you take care of your environment.
Yeah.
You do. Like, maybe it's just when people come over.
It might be just when people come over.
I know.
But now that I'm moving soon.
I think of when
we
lived together in college. Like, you definitely did have moments where there was, like, a piece of loose leaf paper on the floor of your room for, like, 8 months and, like, a penny.
Yeah. Definitely.
For, like, no reason.
Yeah.
But then you also had, like, nice things on your wall.
I don't remember.
Or, like, two really nice things. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, Jesse has, like, a very good aesthetic. Because you're not, like, a rainbow order person.
No way.
No way. Yeah. So how do you organize your books? Genre?
I don't do much except I keep all the poetry together.
Right.
Everything else, I kind of organize things more by how soon or not soon I think I'm going to be needing to look at them. Mm-hmm. So like things that I feel like aren't really in like the wheelhouse I'm in at the moment will get kind of relegated to like the back shelf in like the bedroom.
Totally.
Whereas things that I feel like I'm going to need or I do need, like if I have an upcoming guest on the podcast, I have to read their book.
Right.
That'll stay like in this certain shelf that I keep like near the couch.
Right. Like but, it's like workbooks are close by and then your books that you want other people to see are in a other area, I guess.
And all poetry stays together on its own shelf.
Is there a poet, a new poet that is your favorite that you love right now?
Like working right now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my favorite poet working right now is Eileen Miles.
I know. I was going to say, besides Eileen Miles, she's also an icon and a dirty hippie.
They are definitely a mean hippie. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Recent, not that. Yeah, okay. Whatever. C.A. Conrad.
Okay, I don't know him. Her, them.
Them. C.A., I had on my podcast. They are, how do I describe C.A.? Queer, radical, very hippie-ish, very much a mean hippie too, writes, their poems are always in really odd shapes. They look kind of like the maps of like weird countries or counties.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love CA. Who else is working now that I like? I like Elaine Kahn.
I always love your suggestions. So anybody listening to this, please like take these suggestions down, write them down.
Yeah, those two are
Conrad, and who's the other one?
Elaine Kahn, K-A-H-N. She edited a section of poetry for Apology.
Great.
Elaine, with a bunch of different people in it, which is great. Yeah.
And so is Apology is still like going?
Yeah. I've just been on a little break, but I have a bunch of episodes in the can I got to put out.
And people can just listen to it on where they listen to
any
podcast.
Yeah, it's on like Spotify and Apple.
Okay,
and shit.
Cool. Yeah. People come up to me and I've gotten a lot of messages where they're like, I love your episode of Apology.
That's cool.
Which is really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've gotten voice recognized at the store that I work at a few times.
That's
which is
amazing.
Really fun and rad. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a very distinct voice. Distinctive, distinct. Which one?
Distinct.
Do you judge books by their cover? I do.
I kind of do.
Me too.
Yeah.
The second thing is, how do you feel about book clubs?
I don't want to be in one.
Me either. They're not for me.
Yeah. Not me.
And people are constantly trying to get me into book clubs.
Yeah.
Constantly. And I have to say, I love you and I will read any book you suggest, but I cannot read. I don't want, like, why do we have to make something that is so pleasurable less pleasurable?
Yeah, it becomes work. I mean,
yeah. And I'm only allowed to read to a certain point, or I have to read the whole thing and then we all have to talk about it. I'm going to forget.
I kind of feel like book clubs, and I don't mean this to be derogatory, but they're for people who like need a reason or like to be compelled to read or like a context in which to read. But I have enough stuff that I'm backed up on reading that like a book club would just be a waste of time for me or something.
Totally. And if there's somebody that I want to talk about a book with, I have a couple people that I call up and I like really, like I talked about the Shards.
I gave up on the Shards.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I stopped reading.
You're crazy.
Couldn't do it.
It's love, my favorite
love
book
him.
Of the year.
Love all his fucking books, but like
you should just try.
I'll keep trying.
I mean, you know what? You don't have to. Don't. I couldn't stop. I could not stop reading it. I absolutely loved it. But like if you weren't into it, then like don't. Who gives a shit?
No. I used to feel a responsibility to finish every book I started.
I don't
like
anymore.
I felt guilty, like I anthropomorphized the books and felt like they were sad if I didn't read them or something.
No, right.
But no, there's not enough time left. I'll just put a book down now.
Yeah, don't read it if you don't like it. I'm shocked, but also anytime I read something that I love, whether Molly Young has read it or not, I like to talk to her about it because she's a really great reader and she loves books and she's open to reading anything really.
Yeah.
And I also love her writing. I love her book reviews. I think that she's like a really fun writer. I think she's a great writer. I just enjoy her. And so I talked about the shards with her.
Yeah.
And she'll also like let me go off on tangents and like, I don't feel weird about it. And same with you.
Yeah.
But I guess the reason why we never talked about it is because you didn't finish it.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into it.
When there's something that you're like, you have to read this, you tell me and vice versa.
Yeah.
And even when I'm like, read the new Stephen King, like, I didn't think that you would love it, but I did want you to read it.
I would have read it no matter
what.
Have
you ever read The Passage?
I started it and didn't finish
it. You didn't like that one either?
Yeah.
And that's another one that I really love.
You came at me really hot about The Passage.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try again someday.
Yeah. And you also came in hot about Seven Eves, and I couldn't get into it. But I still have it. I want to read it.
Yeah, by Neal Stephenson.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we're just...
Yeah, it's just not the right time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll find us.
Yeah, the books find you when they need to.
Right.
I totally believe that.
So do I. Yeah. And we also... always read Donna Tartt everything.
Oh, no matter what.
No matter what.
And she barely ever writes, so it's not that hard.
But you know that she can't not be working on something right now.
No, she must be.
She's does not stop writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an icon for us too. A 100% legend.
Secret History is like top she's five everything. Easily.
Definitely top five.
Top three, yeah.
Top three for me. And I fucking love The Goldfinch too.
It's great.
And I also love...
Little Friend.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I did. I don't remember it very well.
Same.
Yeah.
But everything.
Yeah. Have you heard the audiobook of Secret History that she reads?
Fuck yes, I have.
It's the fucking best.
It's amazing. She reads it. Everybody read that book. When you're done with it, start listening to it immediately and then listen to Once Upon a Time at Bennington College.
Yeah, totally.
Everything about Bret Easton Ellis and Donna Tartt is everything to us.
Absolutely.
Although I haven't read Glamorama, but I didn't realize that he sued Zoolander and won.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, I just heard that not that long ago, actually.
And signed a non-disclosure, so like he doesn't talk about it, which is so funny because so he's funny. Got the biggest mouth. And so they probably were like, you're not allowed to tell people.
Yeah, which drives him crazy.
I fucking love Bret Easton Ellis so much.
Me too.
I wish I was friends with him.
I saw him at a party a few months ago.
Oh my God. Did you talk to him?
A little bit, because I interviewed him for Vice once. Mm-hmm. So I said hi, and we covered that. And he was really, really nice. But then later on, I was a little drunker, and I was like, trying to get him to come sit with us.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, no.
No!
Yeah.
Why?
He
just didn't want to sit with you guys?
Yeah, I think he didn't want to deal with, like, drunk dudes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But he drinks, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit, I think.
He's just so cool.
Yeah, he is.
There's like very few people that I'm like, I want to be friends with that person, and possibly nobody, but he is.
I'd like to be friends with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Maybe we can dare to dream.
Yeah. We can stalk him.
Yeah. That's our agenda. Anyway, that's a good hobby though. Stalking Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah.
Dude.
It could be its own podcast.
I was just going to say that. Not kidding.
Let's get on it.
Fine.
It's easy to find out where he lives. He basically calls it out. Like
I think he would love it.
Probably.
Let's talk about that.
All right.
Okay. So that's the end.
Cool.
If you liked our show, please subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend. Filling the Void is a production of the Irios Network. Episodes are produced, engineered, and edited by Alex Paul. Original song by Michael Cassidy. Powered by Acast.
Irios.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.